Hello, Peter. Today we have our new host, actually, as Anne is in the north. And if Dawn is listening, if Anne Tulu gets in, maybe you can let her in. She's in the north in the cottage country. And so Peter McNeil is the one who's hosting you today. He's a sound engineer, our sound engineer as well. Quite a talented fellow, actually. 20 years, he was a DJ as well. And he's got Mercury in Virgo, so he's writing books and DVDs and CDs. You'll hear a lot about him also. Welcome, Peter.
Well, thank you.
And well, I'll let you, you know, we'll talk about different events in the world and about some about the world events, some of the charts of the different people. And you went to the Moon Magic, I guess, right? The Moon Magic.
Yes.
And
yes,
how did you like it?
I liked it a lot. It's very useful book. I've been perusing it, you know, day in and day out.
I guess it's the first time you've been exposed to astrology, right?
This in depth, yes. I have a little bit of knowledge about it previously, but.
How do you like your interpretation? From a very practical point of view, since you have Mercury in Virgo, and I know you like to apply the knowledge right away.
Actually, what you laid out for me, you've hit on so many past things that, without going into specifics, but you nailed things that were happening in my life in the past, like different situations, without going into any hocus pocus, just very, very basic.
But it motivates you to do something. Like the next few months are fantastic for you. For your writing of books or any for the CDs and all that, to get new ideas for that, or did you want? You have the talent. You're born with that. Like astrology helps us find when the best timing is. So we just need certain people who motivate you at that time, or when you are ready for certain things in life. Just like the challenges of life, we also ready for that. Even the negative things happen with that, but you're on a real positive theme right now.
Yeah, and definitely even the planting of the seed can give you the inspiration as well. But you know, hearing that from someone of your talent definitely is nice to give you the little extra inspiration. And
how do you find the book, actually? It's quite easy, isn't it? The Moon Magic?
Yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah.
It's excellent. I've referred to it, you know, a few times since I received it.
See, they're all different cycles, and the main thing in astrology is for the book, because people want to learn astrology, but I told them, I said, no, instead of learning for 6 months where Venus is in this house and that sign, the best thing is to just apply the knowledge right away. Like every month, the moon repeats itself. Every 28, 29 days, the moon comes back to its own position. Every time it's number 12, you always feel run down and tired. But it's fantastic for research and digging up information. You'll end up doing research, like in my case, I end up doing research like till 5 o'clock in the morning, then of course I'm so tired after that. But when it's number 8, for example, you always get money. So let's say if you want to go to the court to beat a speeding ticket, now of course we shouldn't say it, but they shouldn't be speeding in the first place, but if you have to, if you feel this, something is being unjust, you should always choose number 8 and keep postponing to this number 8. I mean, and you always find it works. So when it's number 9, for example, you are closest to truth. I've gone to donut shops, and now I don't, of course, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I found this fellow from Egypt. We started talking about religion and God, and we were there at like 6:30 in the morning, one of my best discussions. When I came home, I found that moon was in my 9th house. I didn't realize it. When it's in the 10th house, you get the same aspect. But what I find absolutely amazing, you know, Peter, is that, you know, when Deepak Chopra asks us, who are you? My answer to that is, you are your horoscope, because once your horoscope is made, even after that, it continues. That's why I have a different take on the reincarnation theme that people have, because they feel we keep going from one to the other to the other. That horoscope never changes, even after that. And the aspect of that is, for example, Princess Diana. When she passed away just before that, moon was in her 7th house. And to read the 7th house, it says being involved with the spouse and emotional aspect with the spouse, and exactly we're talking about marriage and all. Then went to the 8th house. And to read the 8th house, it says getting a lot of money for investments such as accidents. She got this 200,000-pound ring. And also, but it says morbid thoughts and often reminded of life and death situations. I'm not going to say it's the house of death. Some people will be so scared. So she passed away. 2-3 days later, it went to the 9th house. And to read the 9th house, it says going to the airport, flying to capitals, and she was flown to London. Also, it says philosophy and churches and religious aspect. So So, of course, she was in the St. James Cathedral, and all these priests and all that, the archbishops, people are there. 2-3 days later, she went to the 10th house, where it says the best time for limelight, for television. Even though she has passed away, more than 1 billion people watched her on television. That's the aspect. Then it was right after that, went to 11th house, which is all the people, like humanitarian aspects and trade fairs, or people holding hands and vigils. Thousands of people, like this camaraderie, this brotherhood and sisterhood, and all, they're all holding hands. Then went to the 12th house, like an obscure aspect. It's like graveyards and institutions, that's all 12th house. And here they were buried in a place which you have to pay, I don't know, £5 or something to go from a ferry or something to this island, like an obscure aspect. Not only that, but you'll find some days they're talking about Beethoven or Mozart, for example, for 1 week. And that week you'll find all the planets are right on top in their chart. So even after that, it continues. And that's why I feel there's a certain aspect of psychic hereditary, which is slightly different from the way they talk about the incarnation thing. Any question, by the way, if you'd like to have about any controversial aspects also about astrology or what you feel, that how much of it works and all that, you're welcome to ask anything. And the number, by the way, to call for anyone who wants to have a free analysis, of course, is 1-877-876-5227. And this is all across the U.S. And if you'd like to call from Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. And all we need is your date of birth, time of birth, and place of birth. Or if you just give the date of birth, that's fine. Now, you know, Peter, over the weekend, I was looking at all kinds of different signs, and I'm a different charge to let our clients on, because we do an incredible amount of research, and that's the only way we can understand. Because I like to see the best potential of people. Like in your chart, for example, you have a Mercury-Pluto aspect in your chart. Mercury, Uranus, Pluto. And the sign of Virgo. It's a very nitpicky, real perfectionist aspect. Like in old times, you know, when they like a warlocks and witches are born with this aspect. This is a powerful aspect. It's like all the conspiracy theories and anti-establishment, everything. And
everyone who, you know, has a little something against me, you know, that's the aspect of me that they don't like. But it's so innate. And
also, you know, when you used to do the DJ, so when you're doing all these, you know, these, you're destroying all these songs and everything also. Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Also. But for editing, it's fantastic. Because it's like a research and dig up information, etc. It's fantastic for that. And but all that perfection is what we need exactly for a sound. So we are planning to make some, you know, these recordings of different singers and politicians and, you know, the composers and artists and the best people. We'll have 5 to 6 minutes of these, and we put them all in different DVDs. All singers, for example, about Elvis Presley or Janis Joplin, or what does Elvis Presley have in common with, for example, Celine Dion? Like they both were born with Mercury, very close to Venus. Venus makes a person much more eloquent in their speech, but also makes it beautiful. And what's interesting, the Indian singer, Muhammad Rafi, one of the best singers in India, he was born with exactly the same chart as Elvis. Identical chart, both Capricorn, both Mercury in Capricorn, and both close to Mercury Venus. So these aspects are so fascinating to me. Now, looking at Alfred Nobel's chart,
it really
chart,
makes you question the talent of the individual, of where it's coming from. If you're both those two different people, two different
I think we have a caller here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, can we get your date of birth? That's okay. I'll just put it directly on the computer.
Yep, July 30th.
July 30th. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Melissa.
Okay, what's your date of birth? July?
July 30th, 1969.
Same 69. You know, your whole age group went through a very rough period throughout the month of June till about mid-July. Because
Mars
was touching off that Neptune. When the immune system is down and misunderstandings, etc. You have Venus in Gemini, and in terms of love matters, Shakespeare was born Venus in Gemini. And it's a person's voice, the communication becomes very, very important for you, more than the physical aspect of it. And but you have Venus-Pluto square, which indicates like impossible type relationships. You like somebody very much, the person is married or lives somewhere else, for example. But most of these lessons of life are over, like 95, 96 must have been difficult for you. And also 2003 and 4 was major test of relationships for you.
Okay.
And but by the way, you were born with Mercury in the sign of Leo, as you know. You said July 30th, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that placement, actually, because it touched off my ninth house. That's a very strong leadership ability. Of course, Bill Clinton is born with that. And But also, unfortunately, Bush is also born in that. One thing which he's good in is the way he communicates, especially when other people have written his speech. He said, we'll do this and we'll do that. He's very definite about that. And he says with so much of conviction. That's the only negative I have to put that Mercury in Leo, because regardless of whether it's used positively or negatively, it gives a very strong mind. Any questions you'd like to ask?
Yeah. Do you see me moving anytime soon? And then also anything with career coming up?
Okay. Well, as far as the career is concerned, you're a natural promoter. You have very strong, intelligent leadership ability, very strong management skills. And when you get enthusiastic about something, one of my hosts actually, Zainab, she was also born with the same aspect, no? In fact, Anne is also born with the same thing, Anne Chulo.
Okay.
Other hosts, too. If you hear them, they've got a strong voice and they're assertive. You have a very, very obsessive personality. Like what every day, you know, it's just like all or nothing aspect. That's that Mars being very close to Neptune. So the only thing that I'd be very careful of is speculative ventures, trusting the wrong people. And do you know what time you were born, Minister?
Yes, 7:16 a.m.
Wow, you know the exact time. 7:16. At some point, you should try to have your report done. I think you'll really enjoy that.
Okay.
Because it, since you know the exact time. So yeah, you actually have... Oh, where were you born, by the way?
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Where about?
Manchester.
I see, Manchester.
Okay. New Hampshire.
And I think you have Leo rising. Have you had your chart done before?
Yes.
You did? And you have Leo rising, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You must have a fantastic personality. Mick Jagger is also born with that. Your greatest asset is your personality, actually. But you are at a point right now where you're at a crossroads.
Yes.
So that's Saturn sitting right on top of your ascendant. From the last 2.5 years, you have had to confront your health matters, first of all. It's like a completion phase. Any dental work or anything you've been ignoring, it catches up under this transit. For the next 2-3 years, you have to consolidate your position in the public, and then you're coming into a bit of a retirement phase for just for a little while. So you have to start doing things which you really enjoy. Now, you'll always be... Now, you have Mercury in the 12th house, which is very good for research, or when you work in an institution, for example, also. You think like a scientist. But one of the things I would recommend for you, you have Venus in your 11th house. Now, one of my clients has me the top person, Mary Kay, and she has Venus there also. And
okay.
So, you know, any of these, Mary Kay or NHG Global and these things, that's all Venus aspect. So anything which is a skincare product, beauty product, where you have a lot of people gathering trades, is fantastic for that.
Okay.
If you want to establish on the side. Now, from last year, by the way, actually from now, from just about September till about next September, you'll need to give yourself a lot of physical rest and sleep. Because Saturn is opposing a moon, which always indicates people when they feel very tired. And your whole age group, anyone who was born in that late 60s, they were going to the aspect where you feel that, what have I done in my life, and how much have I wasted? Any of these. Now, you can take it like a stumbling block or a stepping stone. That's your free choice. What do you do, by the way?
I actually do intuitive work.
Intuitive work?
Yes, psychic.
Wow. That's excellent, yeah. That's your Mercury in the 12th house. See, 12th house is the investigative aspect and research. And see, what I like about your chart is that you're basically a very positive person. Now,
yes.
You do have a... I was wondering if you have a Mercury-Neptune aspect, but now I'm convinced that you do. The Mercury-Neptune gives all these aspects of, you know, the intuition, etc., any Neptune aspect to Mercury. The only thing you have to be careful is that you don't get any Messiah complex because of the Leo theme. See, that's
okay.
Why you can compare it with Bush. Like, people can play on it so easily that he's a Messiah, is going to save us, and he really believes it. And that's the only thing you have to be careful. Or certain, you know, religions also have that, like in Buddhism, for example, or when you feel that you're God yourself or something. So which appeals to the ego, that's something you've got to be very careful of.
I have to be careful of my ego?
You have to be a bit careful of that. Now, there's a certain charisma, being a Leo, so you can handle that aspect. But basically, you're a very, very positive person. I don't think you're into... Like, psychics can be very irresponsible also sometimes. See, they can tell somebody, oh, your husband is having an affair, or your wife's having an affair, and it really screws up their whole life. But I don't see you being like that. You're like a very good investigator. You're like a born researcher. That's that Leo theme in your chart. Now, Jupiter has been touching off your Mercury throughout this year, but so was Saturn. Now, Saturn makes you much more practical, down-to-earth, but more cautious, and a bit almost too realistic. But Jupiter makes you much more prophetic. But end of this year, throughout next year, is your best time when Jupiter touches off your Leo, etc. Now, you're supposed to be buying a car, unless you've already done that this year, and you were supposed to move, actually. So from throughout this year, right till about end of this year, especially October, November, December, right till about next summer is fantastic for major moves in your chart.
Okay, so it'd be October through next summer?
Yes. It continues in the chart, yes. Continuously for your actual place of residence, moving to a bigger place. It's a very, very lucky aspect, actually, in your chart.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, now, where do you see
so
buying
if you want
a
to,
car?
If you want to contact us, by the way, you can always call us at 416-497-9000, or you can go to my website, astrotrends.net, astrotrends.net. The one thing which I would recommend for you is my book, which will make an astrology in about 5 minutes, because that will give you the best timing, and then if you use that along with your intuition, it will make it very, very easy for you. And it's just a B column that applies to you, and whatever number you see, you just read the interpretations. It's very, very simple.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
So, Peter.
So she was doing some intuitive work.
Yes, she's like psyching herself. Because she has Mercury in Leo, Leo is not a worker's sign. They don't really like to read up too much in this aspect. She loves these things, but she gets the knowledge. But it's not like somebody, for example, who does hours and hours on the theory part of it. So they have this prophetic theme and all that. She does have that. The only thing she has to be careful from time to time that she is able to separate truth from fantasy because of the Mercury-Neptune theme. Because Neptune-Mercury always does indicate, and the Mars-Neptune, the obsessive theme that I was saying sometimes, like June, July, her intuition would not have been very good because when Mars is touching off that Neptune, that's where astrology helps you so you can see your own timing when you're at your best. Like when Moon is in your ninth house, like today, for example, the Moon is in her first house. If you read my book, it's very, very clear. Last 2-3 days, Melissa must have felt very, very tired. So today, it's the number one. And if you read number one, it says, concentrate on self, self-analysis, or having yourself analyzed. That's exactly what she's doing. So that's it's interesting. She was the first caller. That's that Moon in the first house, actually. So I was looking at, as I was telling you before, that I was looking at Alfred Nobel's chart. You know the one who started the Nobel Prize?
Yes.
He had Mercury in the sign of Scorpio, and he was also a Scorpio. And now being a Scorpio, it's the ability to destroy also. That's why he was the one who invented dynamite. And that Scorpio theme. But of course, he regretted the whole thing and all that, and he established his Nobel Prize theme. But it's so interesting how it shows up. Bruce Lee was born with Mercury and Scorpio also. I was also looking at some of these, you know, the mafia leaders, their charts, to see if some of them had good charts. And this is a very, very good example. Sammy Gravano. I forget what they used to call him, but he was quite a big shot in this.
Is it Sammy the Bull? Is it Sammy the Bull?
That's it. Exactly, yeah. And who actually said things against John Gotti. That's right. See, you would know this with your Mercury Pluto aspect. All the forensic mind. You're the same criminal mind. You know, one of the things I've always said, that the best criminals would be fantastic researchers. So here's another outlet.
Yeah, I know. I should have been a detective.
So, but in astrology, you can use it. You know, Carl Jung was born Mercury and Virgo like you. So in astrology, of course, there is nothing better than astrology because it deals with the human mind. Like, science has not even begun to answer questions which we are trying to answer. Because after nowhere, like every time Moon touches off Saturn, for those 2-3 hours, you'll feel extremely run down and tired. And the red blood cells, erythrocytes, would be, much less. The production of them would be much less when you go through this aspect. And you feel extremely tired, if you just want to sleep. It happens 4 times a month for everyone. But science doesn't have any means to measure that change. That for those 4 hours, you have to continuously take on the blood sample. So in his chart, he had Mercury in the sign of Aries, trying to Pluto, one of the most, it's one of the aspects of wisdom. But you can use that in a negative way. And he really understood people very well. He was a very direct person, except for one thing. When it came to his life and all that, with John Gotti, he had a Mercury-Neptune opposition also. Now this, I've always said, on one side it's like a sacred aspect. I'm also born with Mercury-Pluto. People who are able to influence the masses are born with Mercury-Pluto. That's a positive thing in his chart, the ability to understand the divine truth. But Mercury-Neptune opposition, when you justify uncredible acts. Now 99% of the psychics are born with Mercury-Neptune also. I'm born with a Mercury-Neptune sextile, which is a positive aspect. And the difference between the two is that I can outsmart the crooks without being one. A very, very important distinction. Like Ari Fleischer, that's Mercury-Neptune in a negative way. People don't know whether he's slapping them or praising them. Most politicians, unfortunately, are born with Mercury-Neptune. But sometimes it can use for the benefit, like Ahmadinejad of Iran. He's born with Mercury, the sign of Libra, just like Olmert and Putin. All three have Mercury in Libra. Strong sense of justice and fairness and legal matters, etc. But he also has Mercury Neptune.
Yes, I believe we have a caller. Hello?
I think it's just nice from here, maybe.
Okay.
So Ahmadinejad has a Mercury Neptune conjunction. So it gives us sort of a scheming mind, and he's able to outsmart the West. And the West almost needs it. Like here, for example, I mean, it's difficult for the United States to justify things because when they exploded the only two atom bombs in the world, when they are the ones who exploded 1.2 million tons of bombs in Iraq, then they are saying, for example, that you shouldn't be doing this. Iran has never done anything. They do want. He said, you all have it. Why shouldn't we? And he is not breaking anything from the non-proliferation thing, you know, that treaty. Everything within that aspect. But I believe that November 2008, if you notice my world prediction until 2017, I've said about the free energy and the geological revolution all around the world. Now, Tesla found that you would find very interesting. I don't know if you've ever done any research on Tesla at all.
I know a little bit about Tesla. Yes.
He's the one who invented the alternating current and the earthquake machine that he started more than 100 years ago. And but in his case, so this Mercury Neptune that Simon was born with, this made him justify uncredible acts. That he went against a blood oath or whatever. I think it was good for us, prostate, but that's where. That's why I always tell people, if you want to find this wisdom theme, you've got to go away from this Mercury Neptune aspect. And then we have John Gotti. Why don't we just take one small little break, and then we'll come back. In the meantime, the number to call in states in America is 1-877-876-5227, and from Canada it's 1-888-810-8322. And we'll just take a little break, and we'll be back with you. Okay, we are back. And so, Peter, I was talking about, you know, Gotti, John Gotti. It's interesting, some people have such good charts. Like, for example, Sam, well, he had Venus and the sign of Taurus. You know, he loved good food and the steaks and all these things. And actually, he died near the steakhouse, too. John Gotti, he had this, he was a Scorpio with Mercury in Scorpio again. But he had Venus in Virgo, which gives very good taste. And, you know, every time he used to wear these clothes and all that, real pure cotton and all these things, Moon, Venus, Neptune, Virgo, you would think these people really want to help the masses, the, you know, the poor people, etc. But it's the Mercury and Scorpio theme when it's aspected to Uranus. The Mercury Uranus gives this erratic, brilliant mind, unfortunately, when it's misused. And the power aspect and, unfortunately, and having some negative aspect with this Mars, being the sun of Libra, badly afflicted also. And, of course, all these themes that they did. But it's interesting, the Virgo, if you look at all these Virgo planets, maybe he helped a lot of people also. Like, you know, Florence Nightingale was born with that. Yeah. Nikola Tesla, by the way, he had Mercury in the sign of Gemini aspect to Pluto. So the Mercury-Pluto, again, is like, you know, being against the system, etc. Now, he was, they tried to discredit him. He was amazing, actually. I know his chart, actually. But, yeah, it's a bit distracting. Let me just take this one. I do remember his chart, actually. And you see, the Pluto-Mercury aspect, when you understand the divine forces, but if you can actually misuse it also, like the earthquake machine that he made at that time, I believe that they've actually started using this theme already. So 2008, November, I said that I feel that in Afghanistan also, when they had these thermobaric bombs, and 1 week later they had these major earthquakes in that place, and every time the shuttle went up in California, there was an earthquake, as if they were observing something. But the free energy theme, he is the one who started it. And J.P. Morgan was a billionaire, and he was investing with him. But as soon as he found out free energy, he said, forget it. We can't make you a businessman. So he just left it. At that time, he started. Just like radio, he began to get all the lights and everything. And he was the inventor of radio also. So at some point, we'll go more in depth with his chart also. Let's see.
Well, getting back to John Gotti, there's some of his relatives had a TV program last year.
Yes.
Did you see that reality program?
I didn't actually. Really? About him, you mean?
Well, about their lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was kind of like watching a train wreck.
Really? Now, you know, when you talk about Scientology, for example, just like Rudolf Steiner, when people ask him about that, Rudolf Steiner had Mercury in the sign of Capricorn. It's a very practical, very down-to-earth aspect. It's not really a conceptual, theoretical type of person. But I was looking at Stephen Hawking. You know, Stephen Hawking, the scientist, he also has Mercury in the sign of Capricorn. And two things I want to say. First of all, he has, having Mercury in Capricorn, to me, it's not really a brilliant aspect. I know it's just hard work. A person is working day and night on certain aspects of science, for example, that's one theme. But he's a very realistic, practical, down-to-earth person. What I liked about his chart, he's got this double grand trine all linking in earth science. But it's not really a conceptual person. Like Nikola Tesla, who closed his eyes, imagined the whole thing in his head without doing a single thing on paper. Then he used to make it. So that part is a pure conceptual aspect. And he actually worked with Edison, but Edison was in direct current and he was in alternating current. That's they were sort of competitors in this aspect. And, but having the Mercury Pluto, he was so anti-establishment, then when he called the U.S. Army, on the last day, they came and confiscated all his work, and for 100 years it's been confiscated. He even made this, not just wireless, but this free energy thing that, you know, with a car, just working, you know, without any battery. Or when you take one car battery and for 20 years you have electricity free. And it's amazing some of the things that he had done. And
we need some of that again.
Absolutely. And, and we will have that from November 2008. I personally feel as a third world country should develop these things because it's all available everywhere. Now, if, for example, in Iran, if they develop that, they wouldn't need the nuclear thing. And but unfortunately, the reason why America wouldn't do that, the free energy, or try to really curtail this aspect a lot, is because it's all a fossil-based economy. And, I mean, all the billions of dollars that go into houses like Iran. Iraq, that's one of the reasons. They already planned all this war. Nothing to do with the mass destruction or anything at all, as you know. And it's still there, and the first thing they guarded was not the museum, where 5,000 years, all kinds of archives were there, but they were guarding the kick of the oil thing. Oil refinery and all that there.
That's, I guess, if the U.S. wasn't at war, I guess the tea sales would well, because they could sit around and drink tea all day instead of like killing.
Absolutely. So in Stephen Hawking's case, but he's not a very optimistic type of person. He talked about the black holes and all that, and then he said he made a mistake in this aspect. Now he said that the whole earth is going to come to an end, but he's not saying anything different than all the preachers of Bible or Quran. They've all said there'll be day of judgment and the whole thing will collapse, which is basically the earth, you know, becoming part of that sun, for example. But that, so it's very realistic type of aspect. The last 3 months of this year, he will become more optimistic. But it's interesting, last 2-3 years, he has some major difficulties because Saturn was touching off his Mercury. Now, you know, our other host, Lena, had asked some very good questions, and she happens to be here. Maybe she can ask us that question also. And so here we have Zainab for the. I think she had something with compatibility or something. Hello, Zainab.
Hello. Well, we're talking about charts, and we said, well, what makes two people compatible?
Well, if one of them is wealthy, like this lady.
If both are wealthy, then
that's what we thought you had. They had something in common. I said, I know she had, but you know, I spent it all. Well, there are quite a few different things. We see both communication and the love aspects, of course. And when two people have Mercury well aspected, it's a communication part. But in terms of love matters, for example, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I think that's the one that you're interested in also, right?
Yes.
Because you like all the celebrities, you have Mercury. I must say, you know, Zainab is a Cancer, but she has Mercury in the sign of Leo, actually, which is one of my best placements. They always bring out the best in me, having Mercury in my ninth house. Anyways, Angelina Jolie, she has a Gemini and Cancer planet. Her Venus is in Cancer, and it's a very nurturing aspect, actually, even though she has Saturn, Moon, Venus in a T-square, which makes it sort of hide all emotions, and she doesn't smile that much. But still, it's a nurturing aspect, and she really is like a mother, as opposed to Jennifer Aniston, who just needs a companionship and loves the new challenges. Whereas Brad Pitt has Venus in Capricorn, it's like a father figure, almost exactly opposite. They're exactly opposite in love matters, but it's not opposites attract in astrology, which is true actually. But in astrology, we call it complementary. So he doesn't have to say anything. She understands his feelings. It's one of the best pictures I saw was. He has this little baby in his hands, and she's just quietly admiring him. You could see that. And with that, because she never shows, she tries to remain cool on the outside, but you can see that here's the mother's attitude. She's really happy without any smile on her face. but you could definitely see like an admiration, you know, for the father.
But astrology, if speaking of astrology, what do you find is better? Do you find it better if they're both complementing each other's personality, or if they're both extremely similar, their charts are almost identical? Is that better?
There's certain aspects. Like if Venus is the same aspect, then it's very, very positive. When Venus is opposite, they might have a bit of wrong timing, but they're definitely very, very complementary as well. But when Venus is the same or Mercury is the same, the only danger when people are very complementary is that they might not love each other as much.
Once you had also said, depending on the year that you were born, that is also something that's very important.
Oh, the day, time, place, with everything makes a difference.
Well, not just the day, time, place, but the year. You said something about, like if somebody was born in their 70s, they get along better with someone who was born
in their
70s.
That's a very, very important point, yes. I addressed that also in my moon magic, actually. Like when you are approximately about 10 to 12 years apart, they get along really well. Like, for example, the 60s,
like
80s.
Like Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones are just styling.
No,
what is that?
No, but you'll find that people are born, sometimes you might be born 1 week away and belong to a previous generation. It's really interesting because this Neptune also goes back and forth. So you might be actually born after somebody and belong to actually the previous generation. It's really so interesting. Like, for example, people from the Age of the Gold movies, they get along really well. That's the 20s. They get along really well with those who are born in the 50s. Which is a very, very romantic generation. Like your mom, probably from that generation, very romantic generation. Taj Mahal was conceived as monumental love. Yanni, Julio Iglesias, they're all from that generation. Now, your generation is a very philosophical generation. I'm assuming this is the 80s, or no, actually the 70s, right? The 70s generation, one of the most philosophical generation. Abraham Lincoln was born with that, and so was Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Remember that? That's Neptune and Sagittarius also. 60s is sort of a crazy generation, the age group, really with the edge. Now, I'll take three people. Bruce Lee, a real perfectionist generation, basically very humble. They might think he was egocentric, but in his craft, he was absolutely the best. That's at Neptune Virgo, the way he portrayed it. It's absolutely fantastic. And that's all the 30s or early 40s generation. The master. You know, and the country singers are born with that aspect, but they have the substance abuse and self-pity and poor me attitude. Elvis was born with that. Liz Taylor is born with that. Johnny Cash was born with that, always wearing black. You know, my wife left me, my mistress not talking to me, I'm slipping a banana peel.
Liz Taylor, I think she's given every generation a try, no?
There's all the country singing, you know, that aspect. And then after that, even the Holocaust happened at that time, you know, this quiet suffering, for example, and they're just being led, for example, and a poor me victim. That's all the Virgo theme. And the Neptune being in Virgo, and they're very much into nutrition and health and countryside, so that's very good for them. The generation, so when you take Bruce Lee from that generation, Libra is a very fun-loving type. Jackie Chan is from that generation. He's also a crooner, a beautiful voice. And Van Damme is from this crazy 60s age group. Even a name, Bloodsport, and very never smiles, very, you know, so it's almost like revenge and vindictive. And the colors are, see, Neptune in Scorpio, to me, is like a tantric generation. It's like a black and deep burgundy, the color of Dracula. That's Neptune's Scorpio theme. So they always have a certain edge. If you look at that, they are fantastic when it comes to websites, etc. Very deep. Because Libra generation would be almost like a mushy to them. So when you skip one generation, they are extremely well. Like, you'll get along really well with the 50s age group. And so the 60s, you wouldn't get along well with. But so 60s, 20s, 50s, and 70s would get along really well with each other.
Okay, so I'll just bypass. The first question I'll ask is when you were born. I won't even say anything. I won't say, hi, how are you? I'll say, what year? Just keep walking.
So you can see which generation is that, that's right, yeah. Now, certain generations are drawn to certain. Now, you'll find that, for example, if somebody's Saturn touches off your Neptune, that year would not be good for, regardless of what sign it is, that whole year would not be very good for you at all. Because somebody's Saturn touches off your Neptune, you'll always feel extremely guilty, and you'll feel very insecure. So these things are very important. Even in love matters, you're a very passionate person, somebody's Saturn exactly touches off your Venus, you'll never feel the passion towards them at all. Or you'll compete to dampen your emotions. So these things become very important for both Venus and Mercury. There's a lot more to this. Now, I know many astrologers have these reports called composite. Total nonsense. They take two charts, combine it, make it into one chart. I mean, how can you do that? How can you take Venus in Scorpio, which is a very intense, passionate placement, take Venus in Capricorn, for example, and make it into Venus in Sagittarius? You can't. And so that's what they do, actually, you know, in this competitive. The ones we do in our Friends and Intimates report, we compare every angle, but it's basically just two charts comparing with each other. We do not just combine them into one. But my approach is always to give people hope. I'm there to guide people, not to impress them. It's not like, oh, my God, I try to blow people away. That's not my aim at all. I mean,
it's not your aim, but now you have two people whose charts are not at all compatible. What would you say to them?
It depends if they're Indian or not. If they're Indian, I'd say watch. If they have a lot of sadness, I would say watch Devdas and all these sad movies. And they can, you see, the thing is, it's really interesting. I was on John Gilbert's show. We used to have this five-hour show, Coast to Coast in Canada. And this lady, Indian lady, called, and I asked her if she was expecting. And she said, yes. She was really impressed. She said, wow. Then, what if it was a Canadian lady? What would you say? I said, I would ask her if she was going through, like, a divorce. She said, how can you say to an Indian lady, you're saying, are you pregnant? And then to a Canadian lady, you're saying, I said, well, what I'm saying is celibacy. So a Canadian person is probably going through divorce. But the Indian people is quite calm to them. They go to their own place or to the mother's place, for example, live there for 6 months, just increase their love. It's quite common with them. And also when you have the sadness, you see, we all program to cry for a little while. Like little children, they're having real fun. You know, at some point they're going to start crying. So we are almost programmed after some time. So
basically you're saying that as far as compatibility is concerned, it's not just the year or the time, but it's where you're from,
the culture is very, very important.
Extremely important.
Absolutely. Like I was looking at these two people, this lady, her husband is he's a very, like a second in command. He's a bit slow, very cautious. He doesn't like to be rushed at all. She can be very bossy, but she's extremely romantic. So in that aspect, they're both extremely compatible in love matters. But when it comes to communication, etc., they are very, very different. And she's always wondering why, like, for example, you know, and she always tends to sort of blame him for things. Also, and she's going through a Pluto-Venus aspect right now until November 2008. So I told her that she'll go through a complete change in your attitude towards love matters, relationships, marriage, everything. But try not to. You'll both give each other heart attacks if you just depend on each other, if you expect him to really speed up. And because he should be like working in the government or something which he really enjoys, something where he's getting $10,000 for one picture, for example, or one thing for 1 week, for example, that he can keep on spending as much time as he wants rather than being rushed into it. Like my chart, you know, when I do people's charts and all that, my personal interpretation, I really don't like to do normal people's charts. By that, I mean if people are not talented, if there's a beggar who plays a beautiful flute, that person deserves my talents, I feel. Because I'm also a musician, I'm an artist, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, I do so many things, I'm an engineer. I don't waste my time in this respect. Plus, I had some deep sadness, like my mother passed when I was born, but I use that to heal people. That was the beginning of my mission right there. But luckily, I was born with this positive attitude, just like you are born with a very positive attitude, and you're very lucky that you have such fantastic parents, actually, that you have that upbringing in your chart also. Like your mom is like a superwoman. Mercury in Gemini, Venus in Cancer. Actually, this is a very good example. Your father has Mercury. Is it fine if I speak now? I'm not going into personal things. He has Mercury in the sign of Libra, very intellectual sign, like a lawmaker. He'll always take the opposing viewpoint, and which can drive you crazy because you are only into what you feel is the truth. And you're not.
I know
there.
I'm right.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm always
and
right.
And you don't like to explain everything.
No, I don't feel I should have to. See, but, if I'm pointing something out, if I'm sharing my opinion or my viewpoint, I'm right.
That's right. And you're so convinced that you're right, but you don't have, being a woman, you have a bit more patience to even explain. Imagine a man's case, it becomes even more difficult. And then, in his case, regardless of whether you're right or not, he'll always take the opposing viewpoint. It's like a lawyer. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't understand you. Like if you say this person is a real crook, he'll say, well, maybe, perhaps.
No, so, I think that type of person that he is, he enjoys an argument. He wants to see what sort of an argument you can present.
And you're absolutely right. And which can drive you crazy because you're only to one aspect of the truth, what you feel. You're like a benevolent dictator, one aspect. But you're on the right, usually. Now, he has the Mercury in a Libra and air sign. Your mom has Mercury in Gemini, so they both understand each other extremely well. But in love matters, they are very, very different, actually. He has Venus in Libra, a very romantic placement. The need for sharing is very important. He never likes to do anything on his own. So if mom is not feeling well, he's totally lost. you know, he wouldn't be knowing where things are in the kitchen or anything like that. Bill Clinton is born with that. She has a very nurturing aspect.
Hillary?
No, your mom.
Oh.
Sorry. Hillary does have her, she's actually very intense, but she has her own agenda. She does like to save people.
Extremely loyal, no?
Very, very loyal, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
well,
she
we
also,
saw that.
She loves power. If it wasn't for the power aspect, she would have left him, for sure.
Of course.
But so she used that as a springboard for the assassin. She's fantastic in making feel guilty constantly, you know? I mean, that's his goal.
Look all that you've done, and I'm still here for you.
Absolutely.
Look all that I've done for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, yeah. And, but your mom has so Venus in Cancer. It's a sort of a nurturing position, so every time... Imagine if mom had nobody to feed. She'd be so lonely in this aspect. She'll equate love with food.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Portman was born Venus in Cancer. In fact, that's the food industry. I mean, she was actually discovered in a pizza parlor as
Where
Venus in Cancer.
Really?
Yeah. So, but in that aspect, even though they are different, your dad needs a lot of freedom and independence. Now, whenever he's around beautiful women, he can be extremely charming. But because they have a fantastic relationship, because I remember when we were out there, you know, he said, you know, she is my first and my last love. I mean, I thought that was so fantastic. I just wish she would say the same. I mean, of course, it applies. She knows that. And, but that's that. But so even though, because she gives him that freedom, because she knows that, you know, they both are extremely loyal with each other, and always been like that, of course. But there is that understanding. But if the Mercury were not trying to each other, it would create problems. So the communication is very important. But I do find, you know, the culture such as extremely important. Because
all in all, there's so many different factors. It's not just looking at a person's chart, looking at their time, looking at... No, we're looking at the person...
But what I feel in the West, what is lacking is nobody guiding them, nobody helping them. Like
the difference between a relationship in the East and the West is that... and this is something that has gotten... worse with time is that in the East, your upbringing, you're brought up that there should be a certain degree of compromise, and that's something that we're not brought up with here in the West. Our attitude is, if it's not working, walk away. You don't have to put up with anything. You can just walk away. Women are brought, they're far more subservient, they're far more understanding because this is the way they're brought up.
In the West, yeah.
In the East.
I mean the East, yeah.
Yes.
But they're not really subservient.
So they are
though.
Willing, they're not subservient, but they're definitely willing to compromise a great deal more than a woman that's brought up in
and
the West.
And there's social pressure and all their friends, their female friends will be saying. And also,
they're far less selfish.
That's
you see,
right.
When they're thinking of possibly leaving their husband or if they're having problems, they're not just thinking of themselves. They're thinking of their grandmother, their mother, their father. How will people react? This is the type of society they're dealing with. Here, we're brought up far more selfishly. We're brought up to think about ourselves. Don't make yourself unhappy.
Yes.
It's a great deal of difference between your upbringing between the East and the West.
And the thing is, I find in the East, you know, everybody's like a psychologist. They always understand each other because sometimes they just need, you know, there's some little misunderstanding. You just need to talk to somebody, not a psychologist or psychiatrist who actually gives every reason why they should break up in the first place. Because I was amazed at so many relationships which are not really the most compatible with how they get along so well. That's why I tell them, if you are dependent on each other only for your happiness and you're incompatible, not compatible, then makes it very difficult. But if you both have your own identity to some extent, like if a woman is happy just feeding everybody and bringing up the children, that's a main aspect, for example. It doesn't mean she's subservient to anything, and the husband also respects that a lot. In fact, he's totally lost without her, and he's going... I mean, I would love to just stay home and just watch the kids, for example. I love children, for example, and just cook and just do my research in astrology all the time. Of course, but I'm not like John Lennon, that he was like a bit of a doormat, you know, he like a house husband. I don't mean like that at all. I think it's a great privilege to be able to just stay back, have another person just go and earn, and I'd have so much fun. I would have the place all cleaned up. I'd vacuum it, because I get all my girlfriends to do that to me. But so you do need the culture is very, very important, and that's why I'm respecting the cultures more and more. And there's a real reason why it's working. As long as it's not really it's putting people down, etc. Of course, it's very different. But we are going to be having a lot of astro matchmaking service very soon. We have 22 programmers working on it. And now sometimes when people come to me when they're already in a relationship, And
they're asking you, please find me someone else.
Well, you know, that's why I hate these things like those Ashley or something, that they have this Ashley Madison or something, when they're saying, if you won't have an affair when you're married. I think it's very, very wrong, you know. I mean, Bible, mm-hmm. if you say stoned to death, you know, mm-hmm. most religions you stay in, I can understand why they used to say that.
Well, because marriage is not a necessity. You see, it's not a necessity. It's like when you find the right person, it's like a gift you receive. You know, really it is. And if it's not for you, if monogamy is not your thing, then yeah. you don't have to get married.
You know, the one thing which I find in the East, another reason why the marriages really last long, there are two reasons. One of them, first of all, they get a lot of choice. Like you get, for example, even my sister, I remember she had like 5 different proposals. And
right.
we knew what the education was, what everything was. And then
yeah, we do our homework.
So many things in common. When they even have a bit of liking with each other, that's it. It just grows a lot. Here, for example, you go to a party, for example, they get half drunk, for example, and you get involved with the person, and the next day they get married, for example, and start living together. There's no aspect of unfortunately, the whole society, they've set themselves up for that. Hopefully, they'll start having these values. Now, Hindu people, for example, they are very much into all these Janam Patri, etc. They compare the charts. And regardless of which system you use, that is very, very important. So they compare the charts, and only get married, for example, if they feel it's compatible. Like if you
well, this is what they're doing now. Do you
sure.
realize that? Like, well, we tried the dating and we tried the living together, and now we've got all these online websites where you can meet the person of your choice. But how are you doing it, really? You're doing it in that old-fashioned way where you're making fun of us, because, and when I say us, I mean the Eastern culture, where they have arranged marriages and they have the whole courting and the suitor. And it was all seemed so primitive. But really, when you're going to these websites and this is how you're meeting someone, it's sort of how you're doing it. This
yeah.
is exactly how you're doing it.
That's
so obviously the modern way wasn't working because there's no mystery left.
And then we add my astro math making along with that.
Oh, and then we're just, that's it. We're done.
That's right.
We'll have a 100% success rate.
There's one thing which I want to say, you know, because see, Peter is very much into music also. And we don't have too much time, but I just want to give you one or two aspects. Supposing somebody has some Aries planet.
Peter.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely be having an astro matchmaking service. Thank you, Zainab. That was wonderful. Wasn't that, Peter?
She's great.
Yeah, it's so nice to get input also, you know. Because she's assertive. She is very, very successful as a businesswoman independently herself also. She's a fantastic promoter also. And at the same time, she retains her femininity, which I think is a really great gift. You know, we find these super women in the Eastern cultures a lot. It's amazing. They never sacrifice the home life, the family life, and all that, yet they can be prime minister. Even in Pakistan, they say it's such a chauvinistic country, they say, but for 10 years, the prime minister was a woman. In America, they still don't have that. And
that always fascinated me, how society like that could,
and
really,
we had a prime minister about 3 months or 6 months.
Could accept a woman in that position, and
that's
that
right.
She had so much power to actually hold that position for a lengthy period of time. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like here, for example, there was a prime minister in Canada for about 6 months or 3 months. I forgot even her name. I know she has some Venus and Aquarius and all that. Now she's doing acting or something.
Yeah,
I heard.
Her first name is Kim.
Kim, that's right. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, you're right. And it's Kim.
Blonde
and, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
And she used to be just or something, but. And here she has a new picture with the justice the robes in front. Very strange aspect, but no family, no husband. Like, you know, you have to sacrifice completely one or the other, rather than career and family, that you could have both of them. You know, in our next one, I'll deal with the music aspect more. For example, if somebody has some Aries planet, basically there are 4 different elements: fire, earth, air, and water. And whether it's in communication or in love matters. If you have Venus in a fire sign, in love matters, you'll always seek challenge, or you'll always be after that which eludes capture. If Mercury is in a fire sign, you'll have this tremendous confidence. Most orators are born with this aspect. So, for example, if I put Mercury, or let's say Venus in the sign of Leo, so the music for that would be like that. So that type of music would be like Venus in Leo. Now, if that's in communication, then communication are like that. But, for example, let's say somebody's Venus or Mercury is in Pisces. Then I'm just going to put them. Totally, totally different type of, sort of a sad pathos to it. very healing pathos. Now you put these two together, the musics don't go well together at all. But this music goes along with an old-fashioned demarching, right? One is that this is an earth aspect, like a Taurus. The other one was Pisces. Especially when you hear his voice by himself, it's right here. Obviously, these two people get along really well, as you can see. So one is very nostalgic. That, and this is something which is so important that people don't realize. So that's why I'm developing a program. From the charts, when you compare, you will get these African communications, and you will hear the music. If you love that music, you like that person for sure. And if you hate that music, chances are that you will not get along. That'll make it so much easier for people. Well, we've come to an end, Peter. It was really nice to have you also, and I'm really happy that we'll be able to do some pre-production also in our next, since we have you as a sound engineer.
Definitely, that sounds exciting.
With all your 20 years experience, it would be fantastic. And I was amazed what you do with the voice here also. So we are at the end of the show, and we hope you had a great time, and all of you are listening. If you want to write to us, you can email us at stargaze@astrotrends.net or give us a call at 416-497-9000. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us next Wednesday for another segment of your favorite astrology show. It's All in the Stars. Thank you very much, Peter. I really enjoyed it. And
thank you.
So. Thank you. Until next time, we wish you all the best and good luck.